Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is Brilliant Ideas, and as the man said, this is the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show. Welcome to another fun-packed foodie adventure here from good old Eastern Shore of Maryland, and I'm here flying solo this morning without my sidekick, who 30 minutes before the show decided that he was going to go out on the river, and I guess the carp are more important than our radio show. So since he's not here, this is the time that I get to pick on my sidekick, which is a lot of fun because he's not here to defend himself. And wait a minute, let me bring on our Food News Jersey style girl, Laurie. Laurie, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
We're going to pick on Aaron since he decided he wasn't going to be on the show 30 minutes before airtime. You know, that's what that means. Look out, Aaron. I was going to talk about his paleo diet. And if those people who are listening for the first time who don't know who Aaron is, you can find Aaron Smith at Facebook. And he's been working on the paleo diet. Actually, before I pick on him, we are proud of him and his success and what he's been doing for the last, I think you said 6 weeks, right, Laurie?
Something like that. He looks amazing. I could not believe it.
Yep, 6 weeks, and he's starting to show definition in his body. And if you haven't seen the pictures on Facebook, you got to check it out because the paleo diet is working. I'm starting to think, Laurie, that maybe he's trying out for the Chippendale Dancers.
Oh, definitely. Well, you have to tell people. You have to warn them. Do not look at the photos while they're having breakfast. No. Because you were like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
I'm like, what's
the matter? Don't check them out. If you have had breakfast, even before or after breakfast, you probably don't want to look at them. But he's been on the paleo diet now for about 6 weeks, and he's starting to look good, and he's working out. And actually, we're proud of him, and he's pushing hard, and he's got that stick-to-it mentality. So good for him. And by the way, if anybody would like to say something about Aaron, like to pick on Aaron, or just talk in general, you can call.
Here?
Yes, if you want to pick on him, you can call in the next 20 minutes or so at 714-242-5272. And if you'd like to put in your 2 cents worth, you're welcome to call in. And by the way, if you notice us coughing and snorting and hacking during the show, last week I mentioned that I was under the weather, and I was flying to California 2 weeks ago, and some big fat guy 2 rows in front of me was hacking and coughing, and we shared the air, and I brought back the same disease that man had, and now poor Laurie has it too. So, Laurie, if you have to cough or hack, I'll mute you, but she's been sick, and we've been sick here on the sick bay, and I'm starting to recover. And Laurie, how are you feeling today?
I actually did pretty good. I toughed it out, but I just have that cough. I get a little bit of a coughing fit. So I've got my tea here, and I made you your tea, so hopefully we can get through this without coughing.
Hopefully. We'll hang in there. So, well, I'm going to just say sorry to anybody later on if you hear us coughing up, you know what, can't help it.
No, I don't do that. I'm dainty.
That's true. You don't know how to cough up, but that's a hold up.
I don't know how to do it. You were trying to teach me. It's kind of cute, actually. You're trying to teach me how to cough up the phlegm. This is
oh,
my
God. What a cough.
I'm like, I just can't do it. I'm like,
anyway, speaking of airplanes, too, when I was on the airplane, I usually don't buy anything to eat, but I was starving. I was coming back, and I decided to buy one of their little lunch boxes that they have on the airplane. And first of all, it cost you like $49 to have a sandwich. But anyway, the lady comes along, and she had a turkey ciabatta sandwich. And it was like $9.95, and you got these specialty chips, like four of them, and some kind of raspberry cookie that actually wasn't that good. But, okay, Laurie, I'll ask you a question. If you pay $9.95 for a sandwich on the airplane and you open up the box, wouldn't you expect a full-size sandwich, not half a sandwich?
Are you serious? You didn't tell me this.
Yeah,
it
actually said on the menu, it said, whatever they called it, turkey ciabatta cheese sandwich, whatever. And then when I opened the box, there was half a sandwich. So I said to the flight attendant, I said, wait, someone took half my sandwich. And she said, no, sir. That's the serving size. But they actually taken a roll and cut it in half. So to me, that's not a sandwich. That's half a sandwich. Maybe it's just me, but I eat it anyway. The sandwich was actually pretty good, but the, like I said, the little raspberry cookie thing, whatever they weren't so hot. But anyway,
I don't think you like raspberry. What? I just come to the conclusion. I don't think you're critical because I have to tell the folks, they know how you love donuts, and the whole box of the dozen you brought home, there's a raspberry one sitting there. This whole big box is in the refrigerator with one donut sitting there. And I said this morning, I'm like, would you like to have this other donut? And you're making a face, you're crunching your nose. It's raspberry. You didn't want it. So you left the donut.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, the other day when you were still sleeping, they had two of those raspberry donuts in it, and I actually did eat that one. But it wasn't all that great, so it's sort of a true story. I don't like the raspberry, but you didn't know I ate one the other day. But no, it's not my cup of tea. But, hey, what can you say? It was a dozen for $2.39. So if we have to throw the – wait a minute. Are you going
to
eat the raspberry
donut?
I'll
give it to the birds. No, I'm not big on jelly filled. And, you know, I don't like the jelly filled. I'm more like the you know, the cruller and the glazed. I'll give it to the birds.
You give it to the birds. Oh, we have a phone caller calling in, and I think I recognize the phone number, but just to be sure, I'll just make sure. I'm not sure who this is. I think I do. But hold on a second. Someone's picking on Aaron, I'm sure. Good morning, Green Ideas Radio. You're on.
Hey, this is
Brian.
And I take objection to your picking on my brother, Aaron.
Hey, I could have done a lot worse, but I'm trying to be cool about it. But the dude called me 30 minutes, or actually didn't call me, text me 30 minutes before and says, I'm going out on the river. So I guess the carp are more important than their show. So he deserves to be picked.
Hey, and I take even more objection to the fact that you didn't call me and ask me to be your sidekick for the day.
Well, Laurie mentioned it. And that's about as far as it got.
I said, Brian or Dan. But then we saw Dan pulling away. I'm like, wait a minute. Dan has to show property today. He just left in his car.
Wait, I'm on my way up because I want that raspberry donut.
Come on over. I'll make you a cup of coffee with it.
Well, see, weren't
no,
you
I'm not coming up there and getting sick like the two of you.
Yeah,
actually,
really,
I called to see how you're feeling. I'm actually being nice. I called to see how you're feeling.
I'm feeling better, but, you know, Grillian likes to share, so he wanted to share his call, too.
Yeah, well, it's just so far that sharing goes, you know?
Well, Brian, weren't you on last week?
I'll leave his Walmart.
Wait a minute, were you on last week?
Yeah.
Okay, well, see, that's why I didn't want you on this week, but you decided to be on anyway. But go ahead, what were you going to say about Walmart?
No, I said I will eat your Walmart pork, but I will not share your cold with you.
Hey, yeah, stay on for a second. Speaking of that, don't go anywhere, because I got unfriended. That's a good topic to talk about. Thank you for bringing that up. I got unfriended because of my choice of pork and my feelings towards processing of meat. Someone actually unfriended me last week. You know what? You know, if I smell or if I offend you in some way by calling you a monkey head or something, I can see where you would unfriend me. But why would someone unfriend me because I eat pork from Walmart and I have a certain feeling towards processing of meat. Explain that one to him, Brian.
I can explain it. You know, look, we have both agreed, even though we disagree about a lot of things, we have both agreed that there are a lot of crazy people out there. And if they want to be so hard and fast about an issue, they're going to do nothing but bang you over the head with it, you know? And I actually defended you on that one. And
yes, you
the
did.
Bottom line was I told that person that, you know, just worry about what's on your plate and not anybody else's plate. And that's the bottom
exactly.
line. You know, we're all entitled to do what we want to do in this world. And
that's coming
that's
from the czar, folks. So listen to what he has to say.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's why you and I get along. We disagree. I don't shop at Walmart, but I don't shop at Walmart for other reasons. And that's okay. It's okay with me that you do, and it's okay with you that I don't. You know?
Right.
But the point is, you know, you have a show here that I am proud to be a part of. And
aww.
we do something to entertain people and try to, you know, bring a little information out there every week. But we're not here to tell people how to live their lives, what wine to drink, how to drink it, you know, and when to be happy and when not to be happy. We're just,
bravo, Brian, bravo, beautifully said.
And why would they listen to us anyway, Brian? That's the whole point. She wanted me to grandstand, and she wanted me to become a spokesperson for the animal cruelty folks, and everything she said was very untrue. I've been in processing for 30-plus years, and I know I've been to probably every poultry, beef, and pork plant in America, and there are some bad apples, I will admit, and I agree, and there's some things that people do, but as a whole, this country has the best meat standards, beef, pork, et cetera, poultry in the world. And we actually feed the world. And if it wasn't for the U.S., a lot of people would go starving. And, yeah, there's some bad apples and there's things that need to be changed. But truly we have the safest food in the world. And, you know, and she wants me to get up here and start spouting off on things that aren't true. So, anyway, I got into a fight. I lost a friend. And she actually was a good friend. I actually had dinner with her. And we had a good time, but just because I have a different philosophy on processing of meat, there she goes. And Laurie, I know you're uncomfortable with this because she's a friend of yours, but whatever.
Very good friend. I love her. Yes, very good friend. And I respect her because it's something. I do want to say something about talk about opposites attracting. No one would ever believe me and Brilliant together because we are pretty opposite when you think about a lot of things.
I'm still having trouble with that.
I know, but you guessed it a long time ago because you're my good friend and you just know me. But we just get along unbelievably. He likes that little bit of, you know, controversy. And I'm just the opposite, as you know. I stay away from it. But
again, it's your life.
I respect him.
And yeah, it's your life, and you do what's best for you. You know, if Brilliant wants to eat pork that was sold at Walmart and processed it at Smithfield, who, you know, everybody's claiming is now being owned by the Chinese, so what?
Right.
You know?
Right, and it makes him happy. He's so easygoing. He's always so happy, and he's laughing all the time. I mean, he's a dream to live with. I have to
admit
it.
Yeah,
it's
a real dream.
Dream.
I'm a real dream boy. I'm a real dream boy.
I mean,
he's letting his hair grow down like ZZ Top, but I like that too, so.
Most of our listeners probably didn't see that argument, that, you know, or discussion. And at one point, you know, she was citing all these things about all this videotape, and I just spouted out and I said, you know what? I belong to the Farm Sanctuary in New York. Now, the Farm Sanctuary has one out in the West Coast, I think in L.A. somewhere, outside of L.A., and one in Watkins Glen. They are an organization that has rescued animals from cruel farmers and bad slaughterhouses, the kind that aren't the bad eggs and apples that Grillion talks about. And before you can even walk onto the farm, they show you the stuff. So I've seen it all. But it hasn't stopped me from eating meat.
Right.
And
it hasn't stopped me from questioning.
let me get on another tangent about that. Okay. I shop at Walmart, and I have become a Walmart shopper. One reason, because we have limited stores here where we live, but Walmart does have every brand name that you can think of. And it, I mean, they've got it all from A to Z. And I know from being in the processing business for many, many years that everybody wants to be a Walmart supplier, and they have the same standards that comes out of the same pork that comes out of plant A that goes to multiple different retail operations is all the same pork. Just because it's bought and paid for by Walmart and sold it by Walmart at a cheaper price, it does not change the actual quality of the meat. But some people have their differences because Walmart's a big company that comes in and hurts the small vendors, and because they, you know, the people work part-time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I get all that. But when people tell me on Facebook, "Oh, that pork you're cooking can't be good. It came from Walmart." Come on. That's all. That's all
I
got to say.
I know.
And
yeah,
Brian, Brian, you should tell your story.
I posted that I was cooking roadkill the other day.
Yes. No, but Brian, you like when people shop at their boutique wine shops because it helps the small businessman. And right? Tell your story about that, because I respect you for how you explained it to me that one time.
All right. I'm a strong supporter of small business, local business. And, you know, but it doesn't mean that I don't shop at places like, you know, big grocery places. But the point is that, yeah, I do like to support local businesses. I do like to see people go into a small wine shop and walk out, you know, and shop there and walk out with a bottle of wine and basically with a story. It hurts me that in the state of Virginia we do have wine in the grocery stores. But you know what? If that's the easiest way for, you know, the stay-at-home mom or the mom that works and shops and cooks and everything else, if that's the easiest way for her to get her wine, then more power to her. You know, I would never deny someone the right to do what they feel is best for them. You know,
agreed.
And I would never ever try to inflict my will on someone else. Again, the bottom line is worry about what's on your own plate, not what's on someone else's plate.
But you said you like the fact that they go into the wine shop and have a story. Obviously, you haven't ever shopped at a Walmart because there's lots of stories there.
Well, I've seen the people that post about the people of Walmart, so I know there are lots of stories. But I don't know if you find someone on the floor that could actually help you with wine. But then again, you're beyond help, so
I know.
That's another
whatever.
Story. Hey, look,
well,
I didn't want to take up so much time.
That's all right.
I just called. You know, I just called to see how you guys were feeling and to support my bro Aaron, because he doesn't deserve to be picked on.
We're throwing him under the bus today.
Thank you, Winezar. We appreciate you calling in. Have a good day.
Brian,
you can call in anytime. I may not answer the phone, but
I'm
you can call it
out,
anytime.
I'm going back out to cut some grass. Take care.
Right.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, Laurie, we kind of went into a tangent here.
It was
and
good.
I guess you didn't do any of your food news, but it was fun. Let's do some food news. Do you have anything you want to share with us today?
I have a really good story that I think, I wish Aaron was here, but he's here in spirit. We love him. And you know what? It's Saturday morning. You know what I said when he said his appointment got changed.
I'm kidding.
I know. I always, you know, I stick up for the underdog here. So it says here, this medical case may give a whole new meaning to the phrase beer gut.
Okay.
Listen to this story. A 61-year-old man with a history of home brewing stumbled into a Texas emergency room complaining of dizziness. The nurses ran a breathalyzer test, and sure enough, the man's blood alcohol concentration was a whopping 0.37% or almost five times the legal limit for driving in Texas.
Okay.
Okay. But there was just one hitch. The man said that he hadn't touched a drop of alcohol that day.
That's what I told
him. He wouldn't get drunk
too.
Out of the blue. His wife was so dismayed about it that she even bought a breathalyzer. Other medical professionals chalk up the man's problem to, quote, closet drinking. But Cordell and Dr. Justin McCarthy, a gastroenterologist, wanted to figure out what was going on. So, listen to this, is funny. The team searched the man's belongings for liquor and then isolated him in a hospital room for 24 hours. And throughout the day, he ate carbohydrate-rich foods, and the doctors periodically checked his blood for alcohol. At one point, it rose 0.12%.
Okay.
Eventually, they pinpointed the culprit, an overabundance of the brewer's yeast in his gut.
Now, how did he get brewer's yeast in his gut?
Well, I'll continue.
I know, I'm just trying to interject, trying to sound like I'm interested. Go ahead.
Your head's probably down on the table right now, but I can just see it. Okay, that's right, folks. According to Cordell and McCarthy, the man's intestinal tract was acting like his own internal brewery. The patient had an infection, so when he ate or drank a bunch of starch, a bagel, pasta, or even soda, the yeast fermented the sugars into ethanol, and then he would get drunk. Essentially, he was brewing beer in his own gut.
You could actually eat stuff and get drunk without even having to worry about going and drinking alcohol. I wish I had that problem.
Save a lot of money. Okay.
Sorry, I interrupted your story. Go ahead.
That's okay. Brewer's yeast is in a whole host of foods, which includes bread, wine, of course, beer, hence the name. The critters usually don't do any harm. They just flow right through us. But it turns out in rare... What the heck did I just do? You know, sometimes I scroll down on my computer and all of a sudden it just keeps going. Okay. But in rare cases, the yeast beast can indeed take up long-term residency in the gut and possibly cause problems, as says a microbiologist at the Duke University.
So he had what's called, I'm reading your story now, trying to help you. It's called auto brewery syndrome?
It's called auto brewery syndrome. They say it sounds interesting, but they're curious. They're cautious. The problem with this case report, they note that it's just one person. It's not a controlled clinical study.
Well, something was happening. I bet Budweiser would like to sign that guy up. To make his own beer. What if he pees out here, too? Anyway. Nothing.
I hope you don't mind, I'm trying to blow my nose and not blow it into the phone.
Yeah, I know, and I know you got like six more lines, but can I stop that story because I'm bored?
No, I'm done.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so the guy has his own beer-making factory in his gut. That's great. Do you have any more stories, or are you still blowing your nose?
I stopped blowing my nose for the moment. No, I was done with the story. I actually had finished the last line. I was a little happy. I'm proud of myself.
All right. Well, I'll take the next one while you're cleaning yourself up over there. Let's see. I like this story. I'm looking at your paperwork. I'm actually reading stuff that you gave me ahead of time. It says sleep deprived. Don't go grocery shopping. This is a research team recruited 14 healthy men to participate in two situations. Stay awake for one night, then go grocery shopping the next morning. And secondly, sleep as usual and then go shopping. Having only a fixed budget of $50, the men were instructed to purchase as much as they could out of a possible 40 items, including 20 junk foods and 20 healthy options. The prices of the fatty, high-caloric food were then varied to determine if total sleep deprivation affects the flexibility of food purchasing. Before going shopping, the subjects consumed a normal breakfast. Findings show that the tired men purchased significantly more calories and more food overall than they did after a night of normal sleep. Interesting. So if you're sleepy, you're going to buy more. Our findings provide a strong rationale for suggesting that you're talking over me. Our findings provide a strong rationale.
You rested for a moment. I thought you were taking a break, and I was going to fill in.
No. Let me finish this lie. Our findings provide a strong rationale for suggesting that patients with concerns regarding caloric intake and weight gain, mainly a healthy, normal sleep schedule, is the best option. Okay, now you can talk.
Oh, now you want to? Now you're like me. So you want to finish? You want to finish?
Yes.
I forget what I'm going to say now.
Of course, you did.
No, I just remembered. No, they, it's very true. Sometimes I love going food shopping with you because you are like a kid. You're like, oh, you know, you're in the junk aisle and the chips and everything, and I'm there too. But if we're hungry,
by the way, speaking of that, how about those pork fries, salt and pepper pork fries I bought the other day?
Got me hooked on them.
Folks, I know this is another Walmart thing, but I found pork fries, salt and pepper chips, but these are pork skins, I guess, and they're salt and pepper. Oh, my God. Laurie actually went to Walmart solo flight on her own.
I bought you three bags.
And she bought me three more bags. Anyway.
I did.
Do we need to probably take a break? Yes. I need to blow my nose, too. I'm going to take a quick break. Play a couple ads, and we'll come back, find a real short story, Laurie, and then we'll be coming back after that with our first guest, and I love saying her name, Sandra Gutierrez, and we'll be talking about Latin American street food. So I'll be right back here in a couple seconds. Everybody hang tight. We'll be right back.
Is your website missing that extra zing? Do you need a radio commercial? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I can help you. Hello, I'm Christopher Trimble, and I am a voiceover artist. I offer these great services: website intros, corporate presentations, audiobooks, radio commercials, and much, much more. Check out my site, www.christophertrimble.com, or you can call 407-556-5506. Once again, that phone number is 407-556-5506. Making noise since 1970.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, check out Big Green Egg at biggreenegg.com. Go to the website, punch in your zip code, and you can get yourself a Big Green Egg from a dealer near you. And speaking of Big Green Egg, Laurie, I made the pork loin and the ham on the Big Green Egg. And am I lying? Was that stuff amazing or what?
Unbelievable. I don't know. You cook so good.
Well, it wasn't me. It was
you
a Big Green Egg.
But
I just stuck it in there and closed the lid. But it came out fantastic.
It came out unbelievable. The coating, the edges, the bark tasted like candy. It always
amazing.
Does.
It makes a great. It makes everything great. You get just the right bark. You can control the temperature of the Big Green Egg up to like 600 degrees, or you can monitor it down to 350, and it's like a convection oven in there. And the pork loin, of course, I have my secret spices that I put on there.
That's what it is. You just know how to put the right spices on
it. It came out moist. It came out juicy. Oh, I mean, we've been eating it since, when did we do that? I think Thursday.
I should interrupt you for a moment and say what I had for breakfast, since you posted what you were having for breakfast on Facebook, the banana and the Reese's
peanut butter cup,
peanut butter cups, that was your breakfast, but I was having the pork loin with celery sticks for my breakfast.
Is that what you had? I saw you over there cutting something, and I saw you had
the celery.
Yeah,
didn't you see the dogs all around me? They were waiting for me to drop something.
Yeah, the dogs
were. Oh, will she drop a crumb? Will she drop a crumb? That was my practice. Very healthy.
Oh, well, that stuff is good. We still got like half the loin left, so we're going to have
to. And you're
going to
be grilling
more.
Again tonight. I guess you'll be posting something,
tonight,
right?
That's right. I'm going to be grilling the chicken breast and the pork chops that you pay too much for, but we're going to have the pork chops and chicken breast.
They were good pork chops.
$4.18 a pound for pork chops. Come on.
Well, I almost bought the ribeye for you, and I said if I come home with two ribeyes, they looked like prime. They were just phenomenal. and they were $12.
So what were they, like $80 a pound?
They were $12, and I thought, well, I had so many goodies in there for you. I said, no, I'll wait till next time. Okay,
no, the pork chops do look good. I'm looking forward to cooking them tonight on the Big Green Eggs. Everybody, I'll plug them again. Check out biggreenegg.com. Do you have a short story?
I do. Have a real fun, quick one. Okay. Several fast food companies have turned to pretzels and waffles to lighten up their menus. Oh, by the way, we should do this. We haven't had a waffle breakfast. It says here, Wendy's, for instance, introduced the pretzel bacon cheeseburger for a limited time. It featured a beef patty topped with applewood smoked bacon, cheddar cheese, this sounds so good, honey mustard on an artesian bread, authentic pretzel bun. It said Blimpy, a sub-sandwich restaurant, has added pretzel bread as a permanent option for sandwiches. Dunkin' Donuts announced a plan to launch a pretzel roll bakery sandwich, but Revealing the pretzel in the latest battle for fast food is the waffle. Waffles are being incorporated into fast food menus in a variety of creative ways. For instance, this one sounds really good. Wendy's now offers original vanilla and chocolate frosty in a waffle cone. I could see you loving that up.
Well, I do like the frosties, but I have to admit, by the way, we had our guest and we lost her, but I have to admit I'm not much of a waffle eater. Never had like waffles. For me, it's like eating a burnt pancake, and I never really liked waffles for that reason. But
I'm not a big waffle person. Like I know my niece Lindsay, that's like her favorite thing in the whole world, waffles. But I'm thinking this Taco Bell one. This sounds good for breakfast.
Well, we'll have to try it out because Taco Bell is your new favorite place, right?
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. I have to admit it. But Taco Bell waffle features sausage, eggs, and a taco-shaped folded waffle. That sounds really good. Sausage and eggs and a waffle.
I'm not much on waffles, and since we're waffling here a little bit, waiting for our guests, I'm going to play a quick song by our final guest today, which his name is Jeff Batson. That's your cue, Laurie, to stop talking about waffles. And we'll be bringing on our next guest after the song. And like I said a few minutes ago, she's going to be talking about Latin American street food, which sounds very interesting. Her name is Sandra Gutierrez. I love saying that name. And we'll be back here in just a couple of seconds. I'm going to play a Jeff Batson song called Do the Country Some Good. And we'll be back with our first guest. Everybody hang tight. I got to go clear my throat and blow my nose, and we'll be right back.
Every I turn on my TV, they say this country's coming apart at the seams, but I don't believe what I see on CNN. That ain't the world I'm living in. They call us hicks, that's all right by me. We like grits and gravy and sugar in our tea. Friday night football kicks off with a prayer, 'cause we ain't forgot about the man upstairs. We're back road, take it slow, common sense, country folk, living by the golden rule, proud to be old school. We work hard, take your hand, look you in the eye and tell the truth. Like a man should. A little more country might do this country some good. We say the pledge when Old Glory flies. Remember our soldiers with their lives on the line. When times get tough, we all lend a hand. Don't need no bailout from Uncle Sam. No, we're back road, take it slow, common sense, country folk, living by the golden rule, proud to be old school. We work hard, shake your hand, look you in the eye and tell the truth, like a man should. A little more country might do this country some good. Yeah, country like Waylon, Haggard, Johnny Cash, or CDB.
Just listen to the man in black, simple man, looking by Texas on the fighting side of me. You know what I mean. Golden rule, proud to be old school. We work hard, shake your hand, look you in the eye and tell the truth like a man should. A little more country, yeah, a little more country. In fact, I think a lot more country might do this country some good. Yes, it would. Yeah, a little more country might do this country some good.
And we are back, and that was Jeff Batson, who's going to be our musical guest later on this morning, and that was his song, Do This Country Some Good. He's got some new music we'll be playing, and Jeff was on our show, gosh, about a year ago, back in August of last year, and he's got some great new tunes and a great guy, so we're looking forward to having him on. And you're with Green Ideas and the food news girl, Laurie, and we're both under the weather, but we're hanging in here. We're doing, Laurie, by the way, we're doing all the things you're not supposed to do on the radio. You're never supposed to sneeze, never supposed to cough, you're never supposed to talk about bodily functions, and we're doing all of those and then some, but we're hanging in there, and we're going to have our first guest. What a way to bring in your next guest. But anyway, our next guest is Sandra Gutierrez. I love saying that. And she's going to be joining us here if I press the button from, I believe, Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Sandra. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to talk with you.
Yes, well, thank you. Sorry, we're both under the weather this morning, so we're trying to struggle along here. So we'll hang in there as long as you will with us. And wanted to have you on the show because you've got an interesting topic. It's a new book that you've come out with. And for those who are not familiar with Sandra, she's got a new book. It's called Latin American Street Food, and she's got a website called sandraskitchenstudio.com. And Sandra, tell us all about who you are and what you've been up to and how you got into the cookbook business.
Well, I've been a food writer now for over 2 decades. I started here in North Carolina in Cary, which is a town near Raleigh, neighboring town. And I've been writing about food, everything about food, food history, ingredient-based recipes, interviewing celebrities for over 20 years now. And a few years ago, a friend of mine who's also a cookbook author asked me where my book was, and I said, hello? I have no idea. And she said, let me introduce you to my agent. The agent signed me on, and the rest, as they say, is history. I'm now working on my third and fourth cookbook, which we will both be out in 2015. So it's been quite a ride.
Well, good for you, because I think is your first book, make sure I got my notes here, is the first book that you came out, was it called The New Southern Latino Table? Is that the first book?
That's my first book, and it came out 2 years ago. And this, the Latin American Street Food book, has just come out. It's fresh off the press.
Cool. Now, tell us a little bit about the book. If people were to go and purchase your book, what are they going to find in Latin American street food?
Latin American street food is a great travelogue. I call it a virtual culinary travelogue through 20 different Latin American countries. And I really selected the best dishes or most well-known dishes of countries all the way from Mexico down to Argentina. So it's a lot of fun. Dishes like pupusas from El Salvador, which are tortilla-based cakes filled with beans or cheese, and arepas, which are the corn cakes of Venezuela and Colombia, which you'll find sometimes served as a grilled cheese sandwich or filled with an avocado and chicken salad called reina pepiada, and dishes as varied as Cuban croquettes filled with, they're made with potatoes and filled with picadillo, which is a meat mixture, or the famous Argentinian empanada stuffed with beef and olives and eggs, all the way down to
Brazil. You're
making
me hungry.
It's hard not to get hungry when you write about such a fun subject. And the recipes were a lot of fun to collect and even more fun to test and eat. So I'm very excited. It's got 90 photos. We really try to photograph as many. 90 photographs.
I think people actually probably have a misconception about Latino food, and they think that it's all spicy. It's not all spicy, right?
It isn't, and I love that question because I have spent the last 20 years trying to break the stereotypes that surround Latin food, that being one, that it's all spicy. The other one is that it's not healthy, that everything's fried, which it isn't. And it's really different food. We don't all eat Mexican food, and we don't all eat tacos, although in my book I say we all should because they're delicious. we don't. So it's fascinating to see how different each one of the Latin American cuisines are. And I typically say that Mexican food is the front door to the home that encompasses all Latin American cuisines, and that once you walk through the main door, then you're able to see all the different rooms. And it's my hope that I've given people enough Mexican favorites here in the book that they'll come in and discover and want to, you know, experiment with all the other different Latin American cuisines.
Well, it sounds very interesting and very delicious. And I noticed on your website, which is sanderskitchenstudio.com, that when you first go to your website, you're standing in front of a whole crew of people. So does that mean you also go out and give speeches and give presentations?
I do. I have been a culinary instructor now also for just as long as I've been a food writer, and I teach cooking all over the country. So I'm very blessed to be invited to cooking schools, and I teach both vocational, avocational, and chefs. So it's been a very great experience. That's probably my favorite part of this job, is meeting people and watching people discover and come to their own personal epiphanies and discover the cuisines that they had no idea they loved. So that's my favorite part of this process.
Well, I have to ask you a question. I hung out with some Latinos when I was in the horse business in California.
Mm-hmm.
And I may catch you off guard on this question, but I don't even know, it may be in your book, but I noticed that they eat lots of goat. And I think they call it, is it called chiro?
Chivo.
Now, is that a staple in Latino cultures? Or because they all like goat, and I was a little nervous, you know, being in the U.S., you don't really hear people eating a lot of goat. And then when I tried it out, I had goat roast and I had goat tacos, and it's very delicious. I'm just wondering, is that a staple in Latino families?
It depends where you are. You need to be in a mountainous area, but yes, it is. Mexicans eat it a lot, and in South America, you eat it a lot. And I have a very funny recipe in the book called the Chivito Uruguayo, which is a famous sandwich, chivito meaning baby goat.
Okay.
But there's no baby goat in the sandwich.
Why,
you have to read the
story. Why is it called that? What is it
they
called
it that because in 1940, a woman from Argentina walked into a Uruguayan restaurant asking for a goat sandwich that she wanted to have, that she remembered having nearby. And there was an electric storm going on. The chef didn't know what to do. The owner didn't know what to do. They just sent her out a beef and ham sandwich. She loved it, and she went out saying to everybody how great this Chivito sandwich was. And wouldn't you know, it's now the national sandwich of Uruguay, and it's sold by the thousands.
Wow.
But there's no goat in it. So
there's
There's no goat in it. There's everything else. But
Sandra, that's really a bad story there.
Yeah.
Wait, what's it called again?
It's called a Chivito Uruguayo, and it's this beautiful sandwich. It is Dagwood style high, full of beef and ham and pancetta, and you have eggs and olives and this flavored mayonnaise and roasted peppers and artichokes and hearts of palm. You have everything but Chivito in the sandwich.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, being that we both have colds, and you've been in the culinary business for a long time, what's the best food? Is there a Latino food that is best for, like, you know, everybody says you eat chicken soup to feel better. Is there a Latino food that's good for whatever ails you?
Yes, I have it in the book. It's called cocido or puchero, depending on where in Latin America you find yourself, and it's a boiled pot of beef and all sorts of vegetables. You can have carrots and yuca root and potatoes and corn and cabbage. And in the streets, you get the meat already sliced for you in the soup, and they serve you this broth, and you're able to squeeze some lemon juice or lime juice on it and a little bit of hot sauce, and it clears out even a hangover.
Wow.
I need to keep some of that in the freezer all the time, Laurie.
Yeah, there you go. And you have dishes like pozole, which is another Mexican stew. It's really delicious. So you find all sorts of curative powers in the streets.
Interesting. Now, your first book was called The New Southern Latino Table. And what? Tell everybody a little bit about what that book about.
The New Southern Latino Table is a new movement that I discovered in the South as I discovered that Latinos from all over Latin America, not just Mexico, are descending upon the South and are starting to impact on a new branch of Southern food. So here in the South, for instance, it's not unusual now to find barbecue sauce that's been flavored with chipotle peppers, for instance,
right.
Or to eat a crab stews very similar to the ones that you would have in Brazil with the addition of coconut milk now. And that, this is all a new branch of Latin food. So the book is fun because you discover how the movement started and how it evolved and all the historical components of the ingredients that made it here. But it's full, and both books are, each one has 150 amazing recipes inside.
Wow.
So it's,
wow.
A cookbook. It's a cookbook for those people who love to cook, but it's a really good read for those people who love to collect cookbooks and read them like novels.
Now, it's, your book, I assume, is you can find it on your website. Can you also find it on, like, Amazon and those type places?
Absolutely, yes. I don't sell it directly through my website, but it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, all the, and your independent bookstores. You can always call your bookstores and have them order it for you as well. It's been very, very well received. I'm very excited about it. It's only been out 3 weeks. It's already all over the country. So it's been so exciting.
Good for you. Now, you said you've got two more books in the works. Are you able to say what they're about yet, or is that all a secret right now?
Well, it's not a secret. The third book is part of a collection that the University of North Carolina Press is coming out with, and it's all on Southern beans and field peas, which is a subject matter that no one has written about before.
Okay.
And the fourth book will be the Empanada Bible. And I open up this book, this Latin American street food, with a whole chapter on street empanadas. Those are handheld pies that you'll find in the streets of all Latin America. So that'll be more of a concentrated dissertation on that. But it's all about the food and it's all about the recipes. But in this book you will find tacos, all sorts of tacos. You will find all sorts of sandwiches, all sorts of salads. I have a whole chapter on raw foods, very healthy toss and eat foods that you have no cooking requirements in it. Fun recipes like the crazy corn that you find smothered in crema and cheese and chile. And
I've had
incredible.
That. That's excellent. That's
isn't that
stuff.
Fun?
That's a crazy part, yes.
So all sorts of messy foods that are fun to eat and vibrant foods and foods that you'll find in little stands on the beach in Peru or in Ecuador, you know, ceviches, things like that. Those are all found in the book. And they, like I said, are the ones that people who've traveled have probably eaten while they're there. And
right.
People who wish to travel and don't have the stomachs to eat in the street can make it home without any worry.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you have the classes. Where do you teach the classes, and how often do you do that?
I teach mostly here in a Southern Season in Chapel Hill, which is a big culinary store with a state-of-the-art cooking school that seats about 50 students. And I teach there about three times a quarter, but I've taught in places like the Culinary Institute in New York City. I'm going to teach in Miami at the Culinary Center there. I've taught in Virginia. I've taught in Charlotte. I've taught all over the place. Wherever there's a cooking school that invites me in to teach, I love to go and, you know, expose people to the wonders of Latin American food, all of it, not only one country, but all 21.
Well, I do love Latin American street food, and I've actually seen some of the street vendors now that they come out with their own food trucks that specialize in Latino American food, and it's kind of a hot topic right now, and I think you're right on the cusp of it, and obviously with your books and all, you're at the right place at the right time, and we appreciate you joining us this morning on the show. And if people want to find out more from you, they can or about you, they can go to your website, which we've got a link here on our radio show, SandrasKitchenStudio.com. Go check out her books and get those on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. And Sandra, we appreciate you taking time to be on our show this morning, and keep making that stuff and let us know when your new books come out, and you're always welcome to come back on.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it. Y'all have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
There you go, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care, and everybody check out her items on her website, and very interesting. I could use some of that soup right now, Laurie, to leave my throat and throat.
Me too. I'm sucking on a cough drop right now because I was like, I didn't want to hack in the phone while she was talking.
We're going to take another break, and I'm going to play another song by Jeff Batson, and we'll be having him on shortly. Laura, we're going to take one more food news story, so be looking at one
okay.
that we need for
good.
Like 5 or 6 minutes before Jeff joins
sure.
us. And, let's see here. I'm going to play Jeff's song, which is called March On. We had played this back in August. Great, great song. We'll be back here in just a few minutes.
I knew the day that I signed up and stood and took that oath. The risk that I was taking, someday I might not make it home. I've seen some of my buddies spend their last day on this earth. I think about their families and how much they must hurt. They gave their lives so all of us can live here free. The ultimate sacrifice, may they rest in peace. I don't complain about the things I know will never be. I just thank God I'm alive, so I can be here by your side. My body may be broken, but I don't think about the pain. I knew I even had a baby girl. From that day on, all I thought about was getting home to you. With every bullet that I shot, every battle I fought through, I dreamed about helping you learn to ride your bike, laying on the beach and swimming with you in the ocean's tide. Now here you are, the day has come to give away the bride. I just look at you and smile. I wish I could walk you down that aisle. My body may be broken, but I don't think about the pain. I cherish every moment, say a prayer every day.
Oh.
Batson, his song March On. Jeff will be joining us in just a few minutes. And Laurie, by the way, your clothes are dry in the dryer. I don't know if you heard the buzzer going off when we were having the interview. Anyway, how's your voice holding up? Can we do another food news?
I sure can. Let's see. I have forget the old-fashioned hamburger with a side of fries. This fall, Burger King is offering a burger with the fries built in.
Oh, I love this.
Not my cup of tea.
I think I do. Go ahead.
Okay. The fast food chain will introduce the French fry burger, a standard hamburger with four French fries inserted between the beef patty and the bun. Really, wouldn't they get soggy?
I've been thinking about this. When I saw the article that you had a couple weeks ago and I read it, and my first reaction was exactly what you said, would the French fries get all soggy? But have you ever had a bologna sandwich with potato chips on it?
Let me see. No.
Well, let me tell you, girl.
Is that a southern thing?
Out.
It's not a Jersey thing.
Well, it's a southern thing, I think. But, yeah, I mean, the more I thought about it, I guess, okay, the French fries, they might get a little soggy. It depends if you eat it right away. Now, if it sat underneath a heat lamp for, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes, yeah, it probably could. But I'm kind of liking this idea because I've done the chips thing, believe it or not, with bologna sandwich, so why not burger with fries? Oh, we lost Laurie. Hey, Laurie, you need to call back in. Anyway, I think it's a great idea. Putting the fries on the burger, and either she passed out or I've lost her completely. But I think it's a great, wonderful idea, and why not? And Laurie, if you can hear me, you need to call back in. We lost you on the show. Anyway, I want to mention while we're waiting for our food news girl to call back in that we have some great guests scheduled for the coming weeks, some great singers that are coming up. Hold on, there she is. I think she's back. Okay, Laurie, are you back?
I don't know what happened. I was listening. All of a sudden you went down. I'm like, wait, where'd you go?
Anyway, I thought maybe you went to the dryer to get the clothes and started folding clothes or something. Anyway, I was getting ready to say next week on September 28th, we have Todd Michael Johns from the Plowboy Barbecue Restaurant joining us. We have a lady called, it's Laurie's Granola Creations. Not you, Laurie, but her name is Laurie. And then the following week, we have some great singing guest, and we got Saber Ricci joining us. Saber had to cancel last week, and she's going to be joining us, I think, October the 5th. And I just want to say, too, if you ever want to be on the show, you're a foodie. In fact, I might be calling some of my foodie friends. And if you want to be on our show for your 17 and a half minutes of fame, you're always welcome. Whatever you do, if you have a product, food product, you're a chef, or you eat, you can be on our show. We're always looking for foodie people to be on our show, and after 2 years, we still got lots more time to continue with this show, and there's tons and tons of foodies out there, so just let me know. Contact me on Facebook. You can also contact Sunblessed Orchards on Facebook, or Laurie, any of us, or Aaron, if you'd like to be on the show. You got barbecue sauces, you got pork products, whatever you got, call us, let us know, email us, we'll put you on the show. Anyway, Laurie, was that the end of your burger and fry story before you disappeared?
Well, I had a little bit more to read. Do I have some more time? Or?
Yes, you have time, yes.
Okay. The French fry burger may not be a complicated culinary offering, but it's cheap. The burger and the four fries between a bun will cost just $1 from September to the end of the fall.
And who's doing this? Burger King?
Burger King, yep.
Wow.
It also says, and if the four French fries in the burger curb your cravings for a side of fries, you will save on the calories because the French fry burger has 390 calories, while a burger and a medium size of fries will run you 650 calories. You know, if you're going to go, I don't know, just have the fries on the side.
You know, speaking of that, the other day, remember when I disappeared and went shopping on my own?
Yes.
I stopped by McDonald's. and they had quarter pounder. They had that $5 quarter pounder deal where you get the quarter pounder, the fries, and a drink for $4.99. So, of course, mm-hmm. I always go for a deal, and I was hungry. But I had this thought sitting in the car. You know how you're like, they put the fries in the bag, and then the fries dump out in the bag. So half your fries are in the box, and half the fries are in the bag.
What are you going to say next?
I was just thinking while I was sitting there, wouldn't it be cool if they, like, sold, like, a whole bag of fries, one of those big bags that they put your food in, a whole bag of fries? Like, and that way, and you always reach in the bag and the fries anyway, but it'd be, like, for a whole group of people. Like, say you were going to a drive-in movie, for example, which we talked about last week.
It's like popcorn.
Yeah, so like a popcorn bag, but making a fries. I know they do that down at the boardwalk. Here in Ocean City, it's called, I forget the name of the place now, but they actually have bags of big bags of fries. But I think McDonald's should do that because imagine you're driving along, you got the munchies, and you never can have enough fries. And it's like, say there's 4 to 6 people in the car, you just get one of those giant bags of fries. I think I'll talk to McDonald's about that.
It's a brilliant idea.
It is a brilliant idea. It might be a very expensive brilliant idea, but no, probably not. Let's say you probably get ten bags of fries maybe in there. So
no, you're right.
If
you have a group of people and you want to get the big bag, oh my God, my nieces and nephews would do that. Yes,
I'd buy it even if I didn't have a group of people.
Of course you would.
Of course I would. Anyway, I digress. I'm going to play another song by Jeff Batson, and I believe Jeff is calling in right now. We're going to play one of Jeff's new songs. And Jeff was one of our guests, like I said, in August of 2012. He's got some really neat new music that we're going to be playing. We'll be chatting, getting an update of what Jeff's been up to. He's in Nashville. And I think I'm going to play the song he's got here. It's called Hillbilly Hood. It's kind of like something I belong to with eating my fries. But we'll play Hillbilly Hood, and then Jeff Batson will be joining us. And so everybody hang tight. This is Jeff Batson's new song, Hillbilly Hood. We'll be right back.
My hometown was a little bitty. I always dreamed about moving to the big city. So I jumped in a truck and headed on down the road. Little did I know what I'd see or who I'd meet on those dirty, dead-end, one-way streets. I'd heard all about it from the rappers on the radio. Gangbangers, hustlers, hookers, beef-packing pimps and pushers made me open my eyes. In the hillbilly hood, running coon dogs in the backwoods, poking homegrown on the bayou, swigging moonshine, sweet brew. Daddy's 12 gauge, not an Uzi, is all we need to keep the peace round there. Take me back down yonder to the holler where life is good, in the hillbilly hood. Well, it's hurry up and wake, man, I just don't get it. Life flies by in a New York minute. They don't know how to take it nice and slow like we do back home. Broadway lights shine bright, but there ain't nothing like spending all night in the moonlight on a boat back in the cold. Well, I'm choking on the smog and heat rising off this concrete. Give me those old dirt roads. We got it good in the hillbilly hood, running coon dogs in the backwoods, smoking homegrown on the bayou, swigging moonshine that we brew. Daddy's 12 gauge, not an Uzi, is all we need to keep the peace round there. Take me back down yonder to the holler where life is good in the hillbilly hood. Backwards. swigging moonshine that we brew. Daddy's round gates, not an Uzi, is all we need to keep the peace round there. Take me back down yonder to the holler where life is good in the hillbilly hood. In the hillbilly hood. Daddy's 12 gauge. Oh man, that's all we need.
There you go. That was Jeff Batson, Hillbilly Hood. Welcoming Jeff to our Hillbilly Hood here in just a couple of minutes. Laurie, I just remember the name of the French fry place in Ocean City, just in case everybody was on the end of their seat waiting for it. It's called Thrasher's, and they sell big boxes and bags of French fries, but that has nothing to do with Jeff Batson, but I had to get that
it's
off my chest.
It's called Thrasher's? Like Thrasher's?
Thrasher's, not Thrasher's, Thrasher's. But anyway, they've been around forever, like in the 1940s. At Ocean City on the boardwalk. But anyway, let's get Jeff Batson on here just before I get in trouble talking about French fries. And Jeff, welcome to the show. We appreciate you joining us, and hope if I push this button, you're there. Good afternoon.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing all right.
Are you here?
We're here. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Yeah, I'm just I'm in the hillbilly hood. Sorry.
Get down there where you got a tin can and a string, I guess, right?
Got a tin can and a string. That's right. We still. I'll be sending you a package, Pony Express, here Monday.
Well, welcome back to the show, Jeff. I didn't realize it's been over a year since you were on the show, and you were such a great guest. And time flies when you're having fun, and we wanted to have you back on. I know it was kind of short notice, but you got some good things going on and some new music, and thought it was a good time to bring you back on the show. And Laurie, that when I talk to Jeff and I listen to a song with Hillbilly Hood, all of a sudden I turn into a country boy and start talking country.
You do? Yes.
See that? The redneck side of him comes out. There it is.
Yep.
Well,
you can make some better barbecue.
That's right. So how you been?
Man, I've been all right. Just, you know, down here doing it, playing, writing, working. Just, you know, trying to get another rung up the ladder. It's
just doing your thing, like they say, right?
Doing my thing. You know, I guess the part I enjoy the most is playing out, and I've been doing quite a bit that this summer. A lot of writers' nights, a lot of acoustic gigs, and a few band gigs here and there. So, you know, that's like I said, I just enjoy getting out and meeting people and playing new stuff, and you know, you get that immediate reaction, which is always nice.
Yes,
so,
that's always nice. And are you still open? Last time you were here, you were opening for quite a few big name bands. Are you still doing that?
It's been a little bit since I've opened a big show, to be honest with you. I've just been down here kind of concentrating more on the writing and just still networking. You know, I mean, even though I've been here a long time, it's one of those deals, just haven't gotten that big break yet, and you just never know when that door's going to open. If it never opens, you know, I'm happy and content with my life, and just, you know, I enjoy sharing my message of music with people, and that's really why I do this. I mean, just to try and touch somebody with the song.
You do have great music, and I love all your songs. You know, sometimes I receive music from people, and I probably shouldn't say this because now people are going to be worried about what music I like and dislike. But sometimes, you know, you get music and you say, oh, okay, I'll play that. But all your music, I can say this, I truly love all your songs, and it's all great, great stuff. And I appreciate you sending us the list of songs that you sent
to us. Oh, man,
I
mean, as I'm sure you've figured out, my songwriting style is pretty much all over the board. I mean, I got fun stuff like Hillbilly Hood, but then I tried, you know, I've got some poignant things, and I mean, so to me, music's all about trying to provoke an emotion. I mean, whether it's making somebody laugh or cry or feel, you know, mm-hmm. you're trying to make them feel something. You know, like Hillbilly Hood's one of those songs, we do that live, and just people love it, and it kind of makes you chuckle. And, you know, then I've got other songs that are contrary to that, you know. But that's – and, I mean, when I sit down in a writing appointment, it's like I'm not trying to write anything particular, just trying to write something good that moves me, because I figure, you know, people are people. It doesn't matter whether they're on the East Coast or out in California. I mean, people, you know, they have the same emotions that we all have. So it's like
they may talk a little different, have different accent, but they're all still people, right?
Yeah.
So that song I just played now, is that one of your new ones, or is this an older one?
It's a relatively new song. I mean, it's within the last couple of years, which, I mean, to me is new. I mean, I don't churn out, you know, I'm not a machine that churns out 10 new songs a week, but it's on the newer end of the spectrum for sure. It's you know, I think probably the most recent thing that I've sent you is a song called Boston Stronger, which is, gosh, that was written back in April. But, you know, that's the other end of the spectrum, the more serious side of me. But, yeah, Hillbilly Hood, you know, that's, you know, trying to get hope maybe someday somebody puts that out and you hear it on the radio. I want one of those songs that everybody's sick of hearing.
Yeah, there you go.
Well,
God,
since you mentioned the Boston
song again.
Since you mentioned that Boston Stronger, and the background on that is very obvious when you hear the song. It's about what the Boston bombing that happened, and you put this song out, and it's very interesting song, and it's very poignant. And like you said, it's on the other spectrum. You know, the first song I played is more of a kind of a fun song, and this one, you know, it'll touch everyone's heart. Everyone knows about the Boston bombing and what happened there, and I'll play that next, and we'll come back and chat a little bit more about what you're doing, where you're headed, and some of the things you're working on, and they will even talk some barbecue. So everybody hang tight. The song is called Boston Stronger. We'll be right back with Jeff Bass.
Months of preparation, pain and sacrifice, the day had finally come to run the race of their life. The sidewalks were crowded as they all went running past. In a second, all the cheering fans were silenced by the blast. Miles of sweat and tears of jubilation turned to cries of fear and devastation. On that fateful April day, they tried to take us down, but they underestimated all the patriots in this town. They thought that we were weak, they thought that we would falter, but the day they crossed the line, they made Boston stronger. People there on Boylston Street, unlikely heroes helping those in need. Through the smoke and chaos, courage did not fade. They refused to let the evil of a coward prevail. Those actions in the face of trepidation exemplify the spirit of our nation. On that faithful April day, they tried to take us down, but they underestimated all the patriots in this town. They thought that we were weak, they thought that we would falter, but the day they crossed the line, they made Boston us down, but they underestimated all the patriots in this town. They They thought that we would falter, but the day they crossed the line, they made Boston stronger. Yeah, the day they crossed the line, they made Boston stronger. They made Boston stronger. We're Boston stronger.
And that was Jeff Batson, his song Boston Stronger. We have Jeff Batson joining us this morning on the show. Great song, Jeff.
Great, that's really great song.
Thank you so much. That means an awful lot. I mean, as you may remember, anybody that listened last time, I've got a lot of friends and fans up on the East Coast because I have a song, a firefighter tribute song that was kind of co-written with Gary Levitt, a friend of mine from Woburn, Mass.
Right.
And so because of that song, I've been up east, you know, a number of times the last few years, and just so that when that whole thing went down, it hit home. And so you know, sometimes I deal with things like that by writing a song or through music, and so that's been another blessing. That song just kind of came to me. It was co-written with a friend of mine named Eric Haynes, who I play a lot with here around town. So actually, he and I wrote Hillbilly Hood as well. So,
it's really a good song. And I had to ask you, a lot of people may not have heard our August interview with, are you still doing real estate?
Yeah, I'm still appraising real estate, commercial property. I am. It got really busy this year, you know.
Yeah, so I know.
The writing, it's, you know, Nashville's, you know, for all your listeners that haven't been to Nashville, Nashville is a cool town, and even if you don't like country music, it's still, there's a lot going on here. I mean, it's been written up in Forbes and New York Times, and it's getting a lot of national attention. It's just a great city. It's relatively mild climate, and there's just a lot happening here. It's a neat place to come visit.
You're one of the cool guys. You actually write, perform, and you have a real job too on top of that with the real estate business.
Well, man, I think you're... I don't have a real job because I want one. I want to bang on the drum all day. No, you know what? I have a blessed life. I've been fortunate enough to have a little success in the music business, and I hope to have more. I chose a career that's flexible, and then it kind of allows me to keep pursuing my dream, and I have no intentions of quitting. I mean, you know, there's times I go through phases where I don't write as much or don't play as much, but I'll never quit. I like I said, I write music to move people and to touch people, and you know, when I'm long gone, hopefully those songs will still be around and having that impact. That's what any artist or creator hopes for.
Exactly. You want to have a legacy you leave behind, and a lot of your music does that. Now, are you still associated with the U.S. Soldier, Adopt a Soldier program?
Adopt a U.S. Soldier, yeah. We've done some things together, and it's a wonderful organization that I want everybody to go check out. It's adoptausoldier.org, and it's a wonderful organization. I'm a member of the Disabled American Veterans Auxiliary as well, and I'm getting ready to do a thing here for the Wounded Warriors on Veterans Day. Actually, last Veterans Day, I performed up in Woburn at on the town square. John Flaherty, who's running for mayor up there, he donated some funds, and they built a wonderful memorial to soldiers from all the wars. It's a neat thing, and that, so
wow.
I got to do that last Veterans Day, which is coming up here in November. So yeah,
I have actually been to Woburn.
You have.
Oh yeah, well I sold real estate. I had my license in Massachusetts, and then I came to New Jersey and I got my license in real estate, and I sold in the mid 80s to the early 90s. I actually have my GRI.
Wow.
But I forgot his name from years ago. He was he worked for the post office and he lived in Woburn, and he was married. I went to visit him. Mhm.
Now see down here, if I just saw that spelled out, I would say Woburn. Woburn. But then it's amazing.
They have to say it right.
So
oh, yeah.
Now, Frank, see, didn't you just go coast? You're a beast, right?
Yeah, we just moved to Maryland. I was, of course, in San Diego last time we talked.
Right, you're like coast to coast, man.
Trip and, oh yeah, we're coast to coast. That, hey, we're all over the world, actually. Believe it or not, we even got people from Italy, France, and Argentina, and all kinds of places listening to our show.
It's amazing, it's amazing the power of the internet and all this social media thing. You know, I mean, I'm just hoping that twerking video I did doesn't ever, you know, hit.
Well, you got another song here I want to play, and it's called She's the Rock. And actually, it's, Laurie, I'll tell you, you are my rock. When I heard this song, it made me think of you. But it's a great song. Is there a story behind this song?
Well, you know what? It's actually another co-write with Eric and another friend of ours named Greg Cook. Greg is a founding member and a bass player in a band called Ricochet that had a huge, huge hit back in the 90s with a song called Daddy's Money. And they're still around touring and playing. So Greg and Eric and I wrote that. Well, I'll tell you something I think kind of funny. I mean, three or four girls have recorded that song and changed it to He's the Rock. But we wrote it as She's the Rock. Yeah, because, I mean, this is just my opinion. I think it's a better guy song because the guy is kind of supposed to be the rock. So
right.
I think the She's the Rock's a little bit of a cooler twist. But, you know, I mean, I'll take the – like I say, three girls have recorded it. So
that's interesting.
You know,
I'm curious to hear it. I want to listen to the song. I didn't hear it.
You take the proceeds no matter which way they want to call it, right?
Well, yeah. You know what? If any independent artist or whatever wants to cut my songs, it's just that, go for it. If you're a songwriter, you never know that demo they cut or their little independent record. You never know who might hear that. I mean,
true.
Might get in some other hands, you know. But
true.
So that's a very nice of you to say that.
She's the Rock. It's a great song, and we'll be back to talk to Jeff. And Jeff, got to tell me what you're throwing on the barbecue if you are in the next week or two. If you got anything planned for the barbecue, and everybody, hang tight. We'll be back with Jeff Bassett, and this is his song, She's the Rock.
Stands by me, I got her back and she don't back down. She's tough as nails when she needs to be, but a sight to see when her soft side comes out. Had our share of thick and thin, ups and downs, down and outs. We're meant to be like Yang and me, but trust me, there's no doubt. She's the rock that keeps me rolling, rolling like the tide, rolling like thunder. Round down for the count, she picks me up and gets me going. She's the rock that keeps me rolling. When I take a hard look, it's hard to believe the ride I rode on the road I took. I was hellbound when she found me, like an angel from above, right out of the good book. Nowadays I look in the mirror, thank God the man I sees the world a whole lot clearer than the day she rescued me. She's the rock that keeps me rolling, rolling like the tide, rolling like thunder, like a freight train through the night. When this whole world knocks me around to the ground, down for the count, she picks me up and gets me going. She's the rock that keeps me rolling. She's always right beside me, steady as a stone. She says I'm the strong one, but it's her I'm leaning on. Yeah.
Batson, She's the Rock. Another great song, Jeff. Love that
great
song.
Great song.
Oh, you guys are too kind.
Oh, my
really
God,
good,
I loved
really
it.
Good stuff. Isn't that a good one, Laurie? I told you.
It really
well,
is. It was very sweet of you.
Isn't that sweet?
Yes.
He's got a sweet side. Now, when you're long gone, Frank, your legacy is going to be one of those good recipes, right?
Yeah, I suppose it'll probably be my pork loin from Walmart that I cooked. That might go down as my legacy. And actually, my tombstone's going to say onward and upward, and I'm hoping when I get there that God's got some. At least I hope that's where I'm going. I hope he's got some grills. I know the other guy's got some fire and grills downstairs, but I hope I'm going to get up there.
Yes. I know where you're going.
Anyway, Jeff, I want to also mention your website, jeffbatson.com. You can find the copy of the link here. All you do is click on it on our radio page here and go to Jeff's website. And speaking of barbecue, Jeff, are you doing anything on the barbecue?
You know what? I've got a friend that does such a good job barbecuing that I kind of leave that to him. All the parties I make sure and invite him. His name's Kevin Kelly. We actually may do a little business together. Got some ideas for a food truck kind of thing. And he makes great brisket and pork and chicken. And so he's so good at it, I kind of leave that to him. I mean, I will throw stuff on the grill. I love to grill, by the way. It's I love to eat, you know. And you can't be down here in the South and not like good
food.
That's
right. As a matter of fact, you better be in the South. You better say you like barbecue. And maybe that food truck, you guys can call it like a musical barbecue truck. You can be playing your music while he's cooking the barbecue and riding down the road. You know, still the little bell ringing like the ice cream truck. Just have your music playing.
Yeah. Yeah. If we get this thing off the ground at some point, it'll be cool. It's a different concept that I'm not going to share because I don't want someone else to take the idea.
Oh, no,
but
no, don't do that.
It'll be cool. But I actually appraised a new barbecue joint here in Nashville. So every once in a while, you get to do a cool appraisal. It was called the Peg Leg Porker. And it's a gentleman that's got a prosthetic leg. And their logo has a pig with three legs. And it was, he's won some awards around the country. You have to check it out.
Wow.
It's Peg Leg
I will check
Porker,
that out.
Nashville. Yeah, he's
It's an appropriate
cool
name, too. Well,
yeah,
Jeff, we're running out of time, and I hate to cut you short, but I can't believe that we've already shot through all this time, but appreciate you joining us again. Everyone, check out jeffbatson.com. Check out your music. Can I get your music on your website?
Yeah, there's the links to CD Baby, actually, or it's on iTunes. Or there's a link on there, just message me, and I'll make sure you get some.
All right, great. I'm
going to
lay your last
one. We'll hook you up. Well,
I just
love you guys, and thank you
yeah,
so
ahead.
Much. It means a lot for you being having me on. It really does.
Oh,
so thank you.
Oh,
no, it's
you're
our
welcome.
Pleasure. Believe me, I believe it. We thank you for coming on. You're welcome anytime. And I'm gonna close up the song since we're almost out and the computer's gonna shut me down anyway. I'm gonna close up the show with your song called Southern Skies. And Jeff, good luck. And I think you had a big event to go to next week. I saw it posted. So everyone check out Jeff's website and also check out his Facebook page.
Yep.
And Jeff, come back and see us anytime.
Hey, I will do. You guys take care.
All
have
right.
A great weekend. Thank
take
you
care.
Very much.
This is,
all right.
Thank you. This is Southern Skies. Everyone have a nice weekend, and we'll see you next week.
A little moonlight, a little spot custom made for some love until sunrise. We'll take a blanket and lay it down. Get a little loud, hope nobody comes around. Just a ways down the road from the Merriweather County line. In the shadows of the red oak trees and the Georgia pine. Everybody knows, but tonight we're gonna claim a little spot that's yours and mine. Lose track of time. There'll be a whole lot of loving going on under southern skies.
Lake Pontchartrain. In the Carolina rain or in a barn on a stack of hay. And they're feeling fine on the copper line. They're getting down in Greensboro, but for you and me, girl, it's just the ways down the road from the Meriwether County line. In the shadows of the red oak trees in the Georgia pine. It's a secret place everybody knows, but tonight we're gonna claim a little spot that's yours and mine. And lose track of time. There's a whole lot of loving going on under southern skies every night. Under southern sky.